Hey, everybody, what are they planning ahead of November? What threats are on the horizon? And also, a major scheme that is being hatched on the southern border. Keith Rose walks us through it all. Bishop Aubrey Shines also joins us to discuss DEI, Joy Reid, Christian nationalism, and Donald Trump's support in the Black community. Become a member today to listen to all of our commentary and episodes advertiser free. That is members.charliekirk.com, members.charliekirk.com. Email me as always directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. And subscribe to our podcast by opening up your podcast app and typing in Charlie Kirk Show. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here. Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at noblegoldinvestments.com. That is noblegoldinvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. Very important topics that are unfolding here. Joining us now is Turning Point USA advisor, dear friend, fellow Real America's Voice host, Bishop Aubrey Shines, also author of 8 Questions About Race and host of America Shines with Aubrey Shines. Bishop, welcome back to the program.
Always good being with you, Charlie. Good to see you, my friend.
Thank you. So Bishop, I want to just get your thoughts here about Speaker Mike Johnson. Speaker Johnson has been letting a lot of people down. He is a self-described Christian. How should we think about this?
I think we should take it as it is. You know, anyone can call themselves Charlie anything. I'm not here to say that he's not whatever he believes. Perhaps he's a Christian. He's a very immature Christian, maybe even a carnal Christian. That term is much larger than the moment. I know this. He certainly does not replicate and really produce in my mind anything in the form of maturity. You and I both know this. Speaker Johnson had every right. Forget if even bringing it to the floor on all these subjects, he could have just stopped it in committee. We did not have to go down this rabbit hole. So when I hear about attributes of Christianity, that's good. The Christianity that a mature believer lives out is something called not being a coward. I see Johnson as a very cowardly man. I love his background, where he comes from, personal things he does. I certainly, Charlie, would not want to go to war with this guy. I would not want to be in the trenches. He may sell me out in order to capitulate with our enemies. I'm not interested. I think we should get rid of him.
And let's dive deeper, though. In Christianity, we are not given a spirit of fear, but that of a sound mind. And so we have nothing to be fearful except God Almighty, Bishop.
Right. Well, not only go further, Charlie, if we were to go, for instance, to John, to all the Christians that are viewing, John, out on an island there, Patmos. He's the one who described the people that would be separated from God. I'm not saying this with Johnson, but one of the terms was being a coward. We're seeing a cowardly act by, I'm sure, a very integritous man in some regard. But for him to sell us out, for him not to fight, for him not to take up his spear and put on his shield and put on his boots and go into battle. Hey, if we lose, we lose. But for God's sake, Speaker Johnson, fight. Because once you name the name of Christ, now you have a heavenly host of others that have given their soul, their lives for what they believe in. I'm not seeing that, Charlie, out of Speaker Johnson. I just think we can do better. I am with Marjorie. I'm with others that say, let's vacate this spot. Let's get someone in there that will champion the cause of all Americans. Johnson is not the man for it. I don't think he has, Charlie, the fortitude.
So Bishop, I want to now play this tape here of a topic that you are outspoken against, which is DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. You and I both hate what is happening to our president, and we want to see a restoration of this beautiful country. Our president is basically in court house arrest right now in New York. Joy Reid goes on MSNBC and introduces race into this wow. topic where we otherwise would never have thought. I want you to listen to this. It's a longer piece of tape sure. and react to it.
Sure.
I did not look at race at all when it comes to Alvin Bragg, Letitia James, but she all of a sudden says this right here is poetic. It is DEI at its finest. Play cut 71.
There is something wonderfully poetic about the fact that despite the fact that even if convicted, he's not going to go to prison, the first person to actually criminally prosecute Donald Trump is a black Harvard grad, the very kind of person that his former staff, the people who worked for him, Stephen Miller, et cetera, want to never be at Harvard Law School. But he was. And he came out and graduated. And he's prosecuting you, Donald. And a black woman is doing that same exact thing in Georgia. And a black woman forced you to pay a $175 million fine that's out now also in question because the people who put it up, that might not be legit. Donald Trump is being held to account by the very multicultural, multiracial democracy that he's trying to dismantle. And for me, there's something poetic and actually wonderful about that. It says something good about our country that we're still capable of having that happen. Go DEI. My DEIs are bringing it home on today.
No reaction.
Wow. Oh, man. I have a lot of reaction, Charlie. I hope you have 30 days. I'll condense it,
my friend. We have 4.5 minutes. Take all of it.
Hey, well, listen, let's talk about Joy Reid and her moronic behavior here. First of all, it's asinine to make color an issue. The very things that Dr. King and others made sure that we had a biblical worldview on, and that is not to judge a person by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. What she did not mention, Charlie, was that Braggs and Fulton County DA, Fani as well, they're also Marxists supported by George Soros. Why didn't she share with us that whole ideology, by the way, something my grandfather fought World War II for, gave his life for, to make sure that we would not become Marxists. These are the individuals that are bankrolled by Marxists. Well, who are they? They're anti-family. This is why people like Joy Reid and others have no problem saying to our audience, it's okay for your kids to read a book. And forgive me for the language, I saw the show itself. Make sure that there are sexual apparatus that are put on against little kids, the same Joy Reid. So while she's talking about race, this has nothing to do about race. By the way, Joy, Donald Trump has the support of over 18% of blacks in America. And that number is growing exponentially. Why? Because we're not dealing with the race. We're dealing with a failed president. We're dealing with a Biden administration that's supported by the water carriers like Joy Reid. And these are people that should be regurgitated, both black, white, brown alike. Joy Reid is a joke. And until we come together and make sure that we are saying that she is a buffoon that is paid millions of dollars by the legacy media to keep race alive, she doesn't and should not warrant our response other than we denounce Joy Reid. We denounce what she's doing. She's a race baiter. And I just think, Charlie, we can do better.
Yeah. And so where does this idea of DEI come from? And not just from the academy, but why she feels the need to introduce it into the criminal trials where no one is making this about race and she wants it to be about race. Is there some sort of hatred of Donald Trump or whites at the core of this? You have to speculate, Bishop.
Well, it's bigger than that, Charlie. I certainly agree with you, but it's bigger than that in this regard. This is about principle. This is about ethics. This is something that the Democratic Party has never had. Remember, the same party that did not go for the 13th, 14th Amendment that allowed blacks to even vote, this is the party that she still belongs to. This is the same party that gave you KKK laws. They gave you Jim Crow laws. They gave you everything that is anti-American. So what do? Blame the white guy. You mean the same white guy that signs her check? The same white guys that Malcolm X once warned and said, look, every 4 years, and they're going to use entertainers. That's what Malcolm said. People like Joy Reid to get their message across. This should not be about race. It is. And how do we know it? Because if this was a black man, Donald Trump was black, and he was being prosecuted by a bunch of people that hated black people, let's say if they were from, oh, I don't know, Alabama, they would all be decrying this moment saying he can't get a fair trial. He's surrounded by people that hate him. After all, Donald Trump is black. These are individuals, Joy Reid and others, they hate Christianity. They hate America. This is why, Charlie, we do the work we do. We're exposing them for being anti-heterosexual, normative-driven people. Charlie, we can do better.
Okay, Kirk fans, I need you to stop and pay attention to this. If you deal with exhaustion, brain fog, mood swings, or food cravings, if you're constantly getting sick or simply lack the zeal you used to have in life, then I have some news for you. While back, I found a liquid supplement called Strong Cell, and it changed my health in a very profound way. I take it every single day. Look, I knew I had to partner with them. I did the research, Google, and look up online what happens when you mix NADH with CoQ10 and marine collagen. It's simple. Every area of your body has cells, so if your cells are healthier, then you will also be healthier. You don't have to take my word for it. Listen to one of these testimonials. After taking Strong Cell for 6 weeks, I found improvement in many areas, less shoulder pain, improved mental clarity, increased natural energy, and so much more. I'm thankful that Charlie Kirk recommended this to his listeners. Rebecca says, I absolutely love Strong Cell. At first, I didn't think it would make much of a difference for my chronic fatigue, depression, and anxiety, but I thought I'd give it a chance. I've tried to find depression meds for 10 years, and since you used Strong Cell, I'm feeling better than I ever have on depression medication. Customer for life. Thank you, Charlie Kirk, for recommending this product. So there it is. You've heard from me directly and some of the users who have seen their lives changed by Strong Cell. I personally recommend taking it every day for at least 30 days. I take it every day before I go on the air, and it's helped me in more ways than I can even name. Each of our bodies is very different, so I would recommend you give the supplement at least 2 to 3 months to see the changes in your body. Go to strongcell.com and learn more for yourself. That's strongcell.com/Charlie. And don't forget to use discount code Charlie at checkout to get your special 20% discount for Kirk listeners. Or you can call 888-596-0155 to order over the phone. That is 888-596-0155 or visit strongcell.com/Charlie. Bishop, there is a new narrative about Christian nationalism. How would you respond if you are called a Christian nationalist?
Oh, my God, I would take it as probably, Charlie, one of the greatest compliments known. Again, my influence should just be that. I believe in the Judeo-Christian ethos that found this nation. So for me to some kind of way advocate that position simply because somebody doesn't like what I believe in is ridiculous. Those were the tenets that helped us in slavery. Those were the tenets that made us who we are. So my influence should be represented through representatives, senators, et cetera, and my vote for president to make sure that Christian views, after all, historically speaking, wherever Christianity thrives, a nation actually does very well. That's just not a biblical narrative. That's something we could see lived out throughout history. So to be called a Christian nationalist simply means I do not divorce my Christian principles while I'm in the workplace or in the political arena. So kudos to everyone out there that would call me that. If it's a negative, you probably need to do a little more research. It's a great thing to be called a Christian nationalist.
So do you think that we should embrace the term as a movement? Because they're trying to use it as a smear and a slander against us.
Well, the only reason they're trying to use it, Charlie, is because it's working. Because people don't want to see our sons and daughters chemically castrated. Why? We believe in a biblical principle that let kids be kids. They don't want us to, quote, keep the majority of our money. Why? It's a biblical principle. And that is, if you work, you should be able to keep what you work for. Those are biblical tenets that are just lived out in our politics. After all, that is how this nation was formed from founders that had a overall reaching aspect as related to their Christianity when they said that all men are created equal in the eyes of God. God is the one who endowed us with this. That was a Christian nationalist perspective. And if they're trying to get us away from it, then we should run quicker to it. It's something that all of us who believe in Christ, practice Christianity, we should continue to do. They are afraid of it because it doesn't work in their politics. It works for us as we take this country back.
Donald Trump right now is, as I mentioned, in kind of court and house and home arrest. You said he's doing better with black voters. Can you speak to that? What issues particularly are speaking and helping with Donald Trump in black America? And what can he do to do even better now till November?
I think he could do several things better, but I'll go to the former first. One, he's winning because, you know, it's just like when we study science. Why is darkness here? Well, it's an absence of light. Well, the same principle is true. Now that we've had years of, and I don't know what your position is, Charlie, is my position. I believe the election was stolen. I have a myriad of reasons and data to prove it. So what have we seen with Joe Biden and this Marxist regime? Black Americans are no different than white Americans. And that is, we want to be able to educate our kids. We want to make sure that our kids are not being forced to have this deluge of wokeism. We don't believe in anything other than meritocracy. We believe that if I do a good job, I should be rewarded. We don't believe that we should be in unending wars. These are things that all Americans, whether you're black, white, or the color of Shrek, for God's sake, we want the same thing that others want, and that is we want peace. We want our Constitution to be lived out. We want to be able to have our voices heard everywhere we go. Donald Trump is registering there because people are seeing it, and black and brown people realize we're not doing well in this nation with Joe Biden and the Obamaites controlling Joe Biden. We can do better. Let's get rid of this whole regime, and let's get Donald Trump back in here. I think that's what Donald's doing, Charlie.
And you've got to know him very well, and you've been a huge defender and promoter of his. Bishop, it's remarkable how he continues to fight under historic opposition and pressure. It really is remarkable.
It is scary. We got to pray for this guy. I can't personally even imagine someone going through every single day, everything that was charged against them, the Russia hoax. We know the Hillary's and everyone else that was behind it, the Department of Justice. This guy is just nonstop. I really believe that we all should pray for this guy, and not just him. For Melania, his family as well, they're under tremendous attack. I think together, forget about the color crap, I think together as Americans, I think we can pull this out.
That's
and this is
matters.
Why I personally stand with Donald Trump for that reason.
Bishop, thank you for your leadership. Thank you for your wonderful counsel and advice, as always. And we'll have you on again soon. Thank you so much.
Look forward to it, Charlie. Have a good day, my friend.
Thank you. The world is in flames, and Bidenomics is a complete and total disaster. But it can't and won't ruin my day. Why? Because I start my day with a hot America First cup of Blackout Coffee. It's 100% America and 0% grift. Blackout Coffee is 100% committed to conservative values. From sourcing the beans to the roasting process, customer support, and shipping, they embody true American values and accept no compromise on taste or quality. Look, you got to check out right now blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie or use coupon code Charlie for 20% off your first order. That is blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Be awake, not woke. That's blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Check it out. Promo code Charlie. Joining us now is Dr. Keith Rose. He's an Intel expert. And I'll just leave it at that. He's also a fan favorite of the program. Keith, great to see you. Welcome back to the program.
Good to see you, Charlie.
So, Keith, lots to discuss here. I'm going to kind of just give you the floor. You have a story that you want to walk our audience through. We have images to correlate with this. This involves the border. It involves international works of mystery. Please walk us through it.
Well, Charlie, this all began when Joe Biden went as vice president down to Guatemala and told everyone the border was open in late 2014. He said the border was open for all minors. In fact, I happened to be working down in Guatemala at that time and sent back the front page of the newspaper, which actually, when Drudge was conservative, they put it on the front page of Drudge. Since that time, as we move forward, we noticed that there was a large influx, very coordinated, of migrants coming to the U.S. And back in 2019, I developed a few assets in the Immigration Services of Mexico. And I've kept those folks, I've stayed in touch with them through the years. And what they were telling me back when President Trump was here is that there were certain organizations and groups at the time in late 2019 that were being supported by members of Congress, people in the Senate were sending their staffers, NGOs were down there funding them, and a lot of religious or church organizations were as well. And we had several pictures sent back to us. And when I heard your show the other day, I called the people I know in the Immigration Service and asked them how everything was. And they told me that now, compared to even 2019, the entire process has been placed, not their words, but just the way they described it, on steroids. They said the most powerful government organization in the country of Mexico is Immigration Services. And they have a very coordinated, well-funded process in coordination with our Immigration Services, their words, not mine. And these are coming from people that are extremely high up in the Mexican Immigration Services. They say that these migrants that come across from South America, Central America, however they come, they cross over to the Guatemalan-Mexican border, and they go in to the state of Chiapas. And they specifically go to Tapachula, which is a city in Chiapas. And that is the primary sorting area for these migrants after they cross the border. That's ground zero. From there, based on their economic status or their not only their ability to pay or how important they are, the folks that are deemed more valuable, have more money, are taken to Mexico City for further sorting. The ones that are of lower income status go to Veracruz, which is a city on the coast of Mexico. So you go from Tapachula to either Mexico City or Veracruz. And then it gets really interesting, because from there, they are sorted into groups and placed on airplanes or other modes of transportation and sent to one of the many border towns in Mexico to be crossed. But the way that they are divided up and sent, the way it was described to me, is in direct coordination with our U.S. Immigration Services, so that they don't send people that overload one place or another, but it's a very coordinated movement from Mexico into the U.S., working with our Immigration Services. In fact, one of the people I talked to said that they were, I don't want to give up the source, but they saw a certain pastor in Reynosa, Mexico, by the name of Hector Silva. And I've known about this pastor for years. And he runs an organization on the border. I believe it's Senda de Vida. And it's supported by churches here in the U.S. and around the world. I believe it's a Presbyterian or a non-denominational organization. And what they do is that this is one of the pastors that was riding from Mexico City to Reynosa, Mexico, which is right across the border from McAllen. And he runs this large non-government organization or faith-based organization in Reynosa and helps organize the migrants and cross them. And the person that saw them right on the plane, they stopped and paused for a moment. And then they said, when they get to these border towns, there are, she said, a buffet, her words, of lawyers that provide services to the migrants and give them the instructions of how to cross and what to do. And when I drilled down on that, I thought they would be Mexican lawyers. She said, oh no, they are from Senator Bob's office, is what everyone says. And she was referring, I asked her, Bob Menendez. Somehow there was a connection there. That's the specific senator that she named. Now, previously, there were Democrat staffers from congressional offices in 2019, and I believe I sent you some pictures of those.
So but, Keith, just one sec really quick. Yeah. I wanted to zero in on one thing you were saying. You said this is done in coordination with the U.S. government. Can you build that out more, that the U.S. government is the offensive coordinator of these movements?
Sure, Charlie. If they're just moving migrants from these two main cities to the border, how do they know how many migrants to put at each crossing to effectively move them at the most rapid pace possible? How do they know how many to send to one area without them backing up too much? How do they know how there'll be enough people to process there? And I ask all these questions, and this person was solid in their answer, looked me straight and said, they're doing it because they're working with your government, your immigration services. So what they're doing by report, and this is a firsthand report, is they are working in conjunction with our immigration services to allow for the most effective and efficient crossing into the United States. And the lawyers are telling them what to do, and they all are telling them, she said, before when President Trump was there, she said they would tell them that they were going to be put in a refrigerated area like a prison, and to remember that the Democrats got them across the border and that they would be on the other side to help them.
So I want to just play on 104. We have the image up here. This is apparently a staffer for Bob Menendez. Is that right? Allegedly?
No, it's a staffer for a congressman is what they said. This is not one. I'm actually getting updated photos, but that's a staffer for a congressman, I believe, in California. And this was down in Reynosa.
Okay, so,
and
yeah, please continue.
Yeah, and so, and Bob Menendez, this Senator Menendez's name came up this time around. This was back in 2019 when they had Democrat staffers from Congress offices down there. But it was the same people crossing them, Pastor Silva and his church organization, and I'm sure, Charlie, there's hundreds similar to this. According to my source, there are a lot of different organizations, each based in a border town. But what she said about the lawyers and the buffet of lawyers was very interesting. She said they tell them how to cross, what to say, and then who to contact. And as I talked to her, something struck me, and I chased this down with other sources. They're dumping their IDs as they cross the border. They're dumping their passports. They're dumping their country cards. Because they want to get a new ID in the U.S. to try to get them into the voting matrix. Now they're telling them, remember, Joe Biden is the reason that you're able to cross this border. They don't say the Democrats anymore because Trump's not in. They say Joe Biden is the reason that you're able to cross.
And so you believe that part of the strategy here is mass voter registration to then impact the election coming in November?
I don't see how you can come to any other conclusion, because why would people readily give up their identification and just drop it? Especially when we're allowing people to come into this country, our immigrations, our borders wide open. So it doesn't matter whether they have an ID or not. The only reason you would dump an ID is if you wanted to get another ID or change your name or a social security number. I think if enough reporters get into this and start pulling the threads, Cinda DeVita, Pastor Hector Silva, you could just start there and you could work your way back. If someone would go to Chiapas, the state in Mexico, Tapachula, where this all begins, I think people would be shocked. And I can tell you that having worked in Central and South America, when President Trump was in office, this was very difficult for them because Mexico finally started pushing back at the border before they could get into the southern state of Mexico, which is Chiapas. So now with it wide open, they're not only coming through, but I think the take-home message is they're coordinated with our government for maximum efficiency at the checkpoints. In fact, as a side note, they said the only checkpoint they're really not hitting is Laredo because they're still running drugs through there and the cartels aren't working there.
The picture you're painting, Keith, and I just have to take a break here, is that the U.S. government is participating in active treason against the citizenry with good PR.
It's not painting a picture. I'm just reporting what I was told.
No. I know that. I mean that in the best possible way.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's not a good situation.
What you are reporting. And by the way, I will just build up Keith's credentials. Keith has not been wrong once in the stuff he said. I'll give you two examples that I could share on air. Number one, Keith called me as the kind of, he said, hey, there's this pneumonia in China and this thing's going to change the 2020 election. I was like, okay, Keith, COVID. Keith called me. He's like, Kabul's going to collapse in 3 days. I was like, okay, Keith. Boom. When Keith talks, you should listen. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. I talked to you about how horrible nutrition has become for people in our ultra-processed food society. Truth is, it's even worse for our beloved dogs. Seen dog food lately? It's more like dead food. Mr. Briggs is our best friend, and the more adventurous we are, I've realized that food is the most important thing ensuring he's healthy. Naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black has invested everything into bringing our dog's food to life. He created Rough Greens, not dog food. It's a natural supplement to your dog's existing food. Full of essential vitamins and minerals and made right here in America. You don't have to change your dog's food. Just adding Rough Greens to their existing diet will be the best decision you ever made to improve their life. Mr. Briggs has more energy, plays longer, and is overall the best version of himself. Dr. Black is so confident that this will change your dog's life, he is providing a free jumpstart trial bag so your dog can try it. You just cover the shipping. Head to roughgreens.com/Kirk. That is RUFFgreens.com/Kirk. Go to roughgreens.com/Kirk to grab yours today. Roughgreens.com/Kirk. So, Keith, what are the Mexican immigration services doing about this? What's in it for them to be transporting these migrants through their country to designated drop points?
Charlie, the person I spoke to said that the Mexican immigration services are now the most powerful branch or department inside the Mexican government. And it all comes back to money. If you just look at the GAO report, the Government Accounting Office report that just came out, I believe it was March 26, it showed that the government cannot account for in the fiscal year 2023, $236 billion. Think about that for a second. And by the way, that wasn't all the agencies reporting. 14 of the agencies were reporting. There were supposed to be 24 by law that had to report by law. And 10 of those they didn't report. They just broke, I guess they're above the law. But anyway, you have $236 billion that's not even accounted for. And you have the Mexican Immigration Service that is grown and is powerful. So I would say follow the money, because they're not just doing it because they want to. They're not flying a pastor from Reynosa to Mexico City and from Mexico City back to his, quote, shelter, where they're organizing crossings. This is a well-run, well-funded organization. And if you go to, I believe it's Cena de Vida, you can start seeing the different churches in the U.S. that are supporting these organizations on the other side of Mexico. And there's lots of Bible verses. There's lots of badges being sold. There's T-shirts, everything. And they wrap it up, and they wrap it around, I guess you could say, religion. But it's anything but, because the Bible never talked about having open borders. So, but Correct. That's what you're seeing, and that's how it's being funded. And I believe it's also being funded from our government.
So let me ask you now, Keith, now till November, you don't have to get into specifics unless you feel able to do so. What threats on the horizon should we be looking at? A black swan event that could change the 2024 election landscape?
Charlie, my biggest concern for a black swan event, this is just my thoughts, talking to a lot of guys in our community who I would consider serious people that love this nation, is that you will see an outburst in a lot of cities of some type of coordinated violent activity. It may be alleged to be tied to a nation state, but I think what you're going to see is mass civil unrest in some larger cities. And then that will be the fig leaf that the president has the authority to step in and postpone or cancel the election if he deems it a national security threat. And I was talking with a group of guys that I worked with the other day, and we were all thinking, how could he deem, just disruptions in the cities a national security threat? And one guy said, well, they're already saying that President Trump running for office is a national security threat. So I don't put anything past the folks that are currently in this administration and running the government. I think that's the most plausible. I think that they'll try to do another quote unquote pandemic, but I don't think the American populace would fall for that. So I think personally that you're going to see, based on what we see crossing the border, the numbers and the unaccountable people that have crossed, I think you could have a well-coordinated event, something similar like you saw in Russia about less than a month ago, where you had four guys with AKs just mow down a bunch of civilians and cause a big problem. And those guys, by the way, were from Afghanistan. And we brought a lot of people from Afghanistan back over here. So anything could happen.
I totally see that. I also think they're trying to push through this Ukraine money because I think that Kiev might fall. And I think that if that happens, Joe Biden's going to look terrible and Donald Trump will look a lot better. I mean, kind of a whole region in just complete chaos. So they're trying to pump as much money as they can to prop up the failed nation state of Ukraine instead of brokering peace, which actually would have given Ukraine more territory and land. Keith Rose, we're out of time. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Charlie. God bless.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.